up to the second shar. We finished. Baruch Hashem, the Siyata Deshmaya. We went straight. We only had to skip a little bit, which was not Minyan of the Yoma, but basically we did almost the entire Shar Aleph. And now we are up to Shar Bet. And there is a lengthy Mavo Hashar, an introduction or a foreword. We're going to do half of it today. And between now and next week, we'll decide if we'll either skip the second half and go right into chapter one, or we will actually see the second half of the Mavo. But if you're on the, for those who aren't, most of you, I think, are on the WhatsApp group. So David Pete sent a PDF of the introduction. If you don't have it, you can listen out loud or look on with somebody. We're just going to do the first page and a half, but I think it's really, really powerful. And he is going to establish for us two types of Avodas Hashem. Tzvei dinim, in a certain sense, in Avodas Hashem. So let's begin. B'yom min hayamim. There comes a day, we hope, in everyone's life. Achrei tkufas histaglut. Now you remember what we've seen virtually every chapter is he's speaking to yeshiva guys, but I think this is relevant obviously to all of us, even whether we were ever in yeshiva and even if we're not still in yeshiva. But there comes a time when a person, in the beginning, his taglut is adaptation. It's hard to adapt, to learn, to get used to learning Gemara, to learning a full day, to learning a new language, whether the new language is Aramaic, Hebrew, etc., etc. But there comes a time where if you've been pushing and pushing and pushing, all of a sudden you hit the other side of that arc, and all of a sudden you feel like, I get it. And what happens in that moment, that incredible euphoric moment? Mitkaberet hakmiya l'alot. L'rotzon boror l'avod al atzmo. Once you see you can do it, you're on the other end of that curve, all of a sudden you are filled with this tremendous longing to grow. Right? So much of it is trying to get the skills down, the language, the rhythm, the cadence, etc. All of a sudden now it's like I was an outsider, and after all that work, I feel like all of a sudden now I'm an insider. And at that moment comes this tremendous desire, he says, to grow and to work on oneself to accomplish. What a great feeling that is. And now he borrows an expression from the Gemara. Ulai zehu yom omdo al dato. Now, I'm not really sure how to translate that. In fact, he quotes here towards the end of the paragraph, for example, a story about the great Rav Pinchas ben Yair, who is talking about how he was very, very particular not to take any handouts or any charity. So as that says there on the second line, miyamav lobitza al prusa she'ena shelo. He would never make a bracha on bread or that wasn't his. And miyom umdo al dato. Again, there's that phrase. From that moment, he was omed on his own das, lo nena, even from su'udas aviv. He wouldn't even take a handout from his own parent. Right? That would put a lot of people out of business nowadays. Yom omdo al da'ato. Now, how do you translate those words? So the truth, again, I think the meaning of the expression is pretty clear, and we'll explain it just to be sure. But even just to get a translation, so I didn't look at an English art scroll, but we have the Hebrew art scroll here, and I actually pulled it off the shelf. I was just curious. They don't translate it at all. You know how that works, with art scroll. There's bold, and then there's, the lighter. There's, now again, maybe in an English art scroll, they would have felt the need to translate it. But I would have thought they would have translated it in Hebrew, only because it's obviously not a literal expression. To stand on your das. What does that mean? Obviously, it's not a literal expression. So I get it. Omer al das, I think, means, it's a moment of maturity or a sense of, direction in life. I'm not 100% sure exactly how to translate it. But again, it
attaining spiritual consciousness.
A certain consciousness, maybe. I'm not exactly 100% sure. But there's a certain point where a person gets to his life and he makes a certain commitment. He becomes true with who his inner self is. And he goes with it. So he says, Rav Obi, maybe this is akin to that kind of experience. Okay, that's just kind of the introduction of the introduction. But now I want to get to the crux of what we'll learn today, which is not that much, but I think it's really, really powerful. And he demonstrates that there's two separate forms of our avoda. He said the first one he begins with is the next paragraph is a Gemara from Chulin, Daf Tet Amud Bet. The punchline might be somewhat well known, but it's the development of the Gemara is very, very important. Barhehe said to Hillel. My dichsiv, he asks him a question on a pasuk in the Navi Malachi. The Navi Malachi in Perek Gimel is prophesying about the ultimate Yom Hadin. And it says at that time, V'shavtem u'ri'isem bein tzadik l'rasha bein oved elokim asher lo avdu. Predicting, the great big discernment, the moment of truth and the moment of judgment, when God will be able to see and distinguish between a tzadik and a rasha, between someone who served him and someone who didn't serve him. And the question which he asks Hillel very simply is, Hainu tzadik, Hainu Ovid Elokim, Hainu Rasha, Hainu Lo Avdu. And it's redundant. Once you've told me that Hashem is distinguishing between a tzadik and a Rasha, obviously Hashem is distinguishing between someone who's Ovid Elokim, who worships, who serves God, and someone who isn't. Why do you need the double language or the double phrase? It's redundant. That's the question that he asks Hillel. So he answers an incredible and very famous answer. Amar Leh, third line. Avdu v'lo avdu, tarvayhu tzadikei gemurin ninu. No, there's one discernment. That's the big one. That's the easy one for God. Tzadikim nirshayim. But then once you get in the book of tzadikim, then there's a second discernment, the second distinction. There's a tzadik who worshipped God, and there's a tzadik who didn't worship God. What does that mean? What does that mean to be a tzaddik but who didn't worship God? It seems to be a contradiction, says the Gemara very famously. Ela eino doma shona pirko mea pamim, la shona pirko mea pamim ve'echad. There's a difference between someone who not only learned, but he reviewed the learning 100 times. He's a tzaddik. He learned. He reviewed 100 times. A tzaddik. But he didn't work on himself. He didn't worship God. He's not considered an Ovid Elohim. Ovid Elohim is someone who learned and reviewed it 101 times. Eino Doma, you can't compare the person who learned it 100 times. He's an Eino Ovid Elohim, but he's a tzaddik, to a person who learned it 101 times. So, of course, Barhei, the petitioner is, of course, shocked by this, as we all would be, and he actually gives an answer which is incredibly resonant and relevant and familiar. I don't know if it's true in other cities, but I know, for example, let's say in New York, there used to be a thing called yellow taxis. There's like sort of still in business. One of the things I remember, like when you go to in New York City, for example, or from the airport, or even in New York City, they set certain fees. As long as you're in the five boroughs, you're in the city, it's X, right? From the airport to anywhere in the five boroughs, it's X. You want to go, you step 1 millimeter out of that, it's all of a sudden the whole thing changes. So that's exactly what Hillel responds to him. He goes, he gives an ancient example. He says, go to the donkey drivers. He says, it's one zuz to go, X. And if you go step over the line, all of a sudden it's a two zuz. It's 1 inch over. I know, but they drew a line. That's it. So says, that's the end of the Gemara. 100 times, you're at tzadik ve'eno oved elokim. 101 times. Now, this is obviously, this is the Gemara that emphasizes Chazara. And it may be bringing back some bad memories from people from there in yeshiva. The average person, this is not the topic of today, but the average person doesn't really love Chazara. So the idea of doing it 2 times, let alone 3 times, let alone 101 times, is mind-boggling. The idea that the Gemara could in any way be critical of someone who reviewed his learning 100 times because he didn't do 101. But it's not just that it doesn't, it's like, what does that mean? Why would 101 be so much different? So there's a lot of explanations on this Gemara. We could give a whole shiur on the multiple interpretations of this Gemara, which we're not going to do. We're only going to learn Rav Volbi's explanation. Next paragraph. Now, that's the end of the Gemara. So what does Rav Volbi say? Hare, shegeder ha'avoda. Again, he's sensitive to the language. How did it all start? What was the language of the posuk? What was the language that we're asking about? That there's a difference between being a tzaddik? Fine, leave that aside. We're not all, But to be an oved Elohim. What does it mean to be an oved Elohim, says Rav Volbi? What do you see from this Gemara? Shegeder ha'avoda who? Hosafa be'ichus. Again, not everyone has different interpretations of the Gemara, but says Rav Volbi, there's something about, again, the purpose for us is not to get into the Chazara thing in 101. That's not our topic. We're going to leave that. But what he takes from this Gemara is, there is something about the quality of one's learning if you push yourself that extra step 101 times, not just 100. In ha Gemara no kete dugma shel shoneh mea dapim ve'echad shezod hayta hosafa bekamut. The Gemara is not talking about someone who learns a huge amount, about someone who's a bigger tzaddik or a bigger Ovid Hashem because he learned a greater quantity. Rather, ela b'shona oto inyan me'apamim ve'echad. Not he learned 101 dapim. This guy finished the Masechet, this guy didn't finish the Masechet. No, it's the same daf, but 101 times. So that's not about quantity, but evidently there is something about the quality. Why? Here's the key point for Rav Volbi. Who sho'eif li'yediyah yoter brura omosif be'ichut yediyah ha'torah shelo the Zodhi Avoda. What you see from this, again, why that's true in learning in 101, what does that mean? Again, not our topic right now. But the lesson for broader Avodat Hashem that Rav Volbi takes from this is that to be an Oved, you're going to put so much effort even into the thing. Not many things, but each one thing, you'll be willing to go to the nth degree. That shows you have a Shifa, you have a tremendous desire to enhance the quality, in this case of learning, or of any other mitzvah. Ahosafa b'kamus ne'emar b'mishneh shelahim menachos. Now, you shouldn't think that we don't care about quantity. Of course we want you to do a lot of dapim in Gemara. We want you to do a lot of mitzvos. 10 mitzvos are better than one. Sometimes circumstances are make it hard to do a lot of mitzvos. So that's a different Gemara. That's the Gemara in Maseches Menachos, Echad Hamarbev, Echad Hamamit, Bevad Shechav and Libo L'Shem Shamayim. Yes, of course, we think quantity is good, but you know, we really care about your sincerity, and if you made an A for effort, and some people can give more, right? This is talking about tzedakah, for example, right? Some people can afford to give $1,000, some people can give $100. For the 100 of one person could be just as good or better than the 1,000 of a different person. That's the quantity issue. Etc. But that's not this Gemara. This Gemara is the broader point. And even the Gemara was talking about learning Torah, and the next paragraph of Volbeek expands it. But Masya Mitzvah Shavim Kol Doros Chol Anashim. So you should know, this is a very, very powerful point. This, over time, and even in our day, you know, you could say this, but certainly he can make it more dramatic. He says, over the generations, mitzvot are the same for everybody. Kol ha'anashim, ha'ga'onim, ha'tzadikim, you and me, the pshutei am, kulam, whether you're the biggest tzaddik or the most simple person, kulam anichim otam tefillin, kulam lovshim otam tzitziot, you know, you and your rashiva were putting on the same tzitzis and the same tefillin. If you want to be more hyperbolic, you know, this morning we put on tefillin and so did Rav Chaim Kanievsky. It's the same tefillin. So what's the difference between him and us? What's the difference between a big tzaddik and a regular person? Nivdalim zemizeh, not in the kamos of what they did, but in the ichus hamasa, in the quality. Ichus hu habirur ha'amaka b'limud. So in learning, that idea of going over and over again, because each time you go over again, you have greater clarity, greater depth. Or, in davening, kavana, right? The words are the maisa. But the ichus is, what heart did you put in? What kavana did you have in your davening? Hapnimius v'ahava uvira, right? That is the inner soul. This is everything we've been talking about. The first shiur we gave, whatever that was, 3 months ago, whatever it was when we started, the opening shiur, which I think when I came up with the title, which when we posted the recording on Hawaii Torah, I think I called it the inner life of the Jew. The panemius, this is what this whole leaning has been about. That is avoda, the working on the inner part of the qualitative, you know, heart that you bring and the qualitative spiritual experience you have in your mitzvos. That, says Rav Volbeek, that is avoda. And he proves this, or he anchors this, in a famous sheet of the Ramban. Unlike the Rambam, next paragraph, who in mitzvah hay of Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam says, what is the mitzvah of l'avdo? We have to avadat Hashem Elokeichem b'chol levavchem, we serve God with our heart. So the Rambam says, very famously, mitzvah hay, that means tzivanu l'avdo. What does that mean? Avoda hi tefillah. That's the Rambam's opinion, that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa, one of the 613 mitzvahs, to daven every day, and we serve God with our heart. That's called davening. However, and that's the basis of many shurim, but the Ramban, which is what Rav Volbeek is preferring in this piece, Ramban disagrees with that, because the Ramban holds l'dato, tefillah b'chol yom is only d'rabbanan. According to the Ramban, as most of you probably do know, and it's a very famous opinion, the Ramban holds there is no Torah obligation to daven daily. So if that's not what this mitzvah refers to, then what is u'la'avdo b'chol v'avcham? What is the pasuk? U'mitzvahs ha'avoda hu'mevar, the Ramban says, this is a quote, she'tiyeh kol avoda seinu l'kel yit'aleh b'chol v'aveinu. Whatever the mitzvahs are, the other 612 mitzvahs should all be done with our heart, with kavana, with pnimius. That is the mitzvah of avoda according to the Ramban. Kolomar, b'kavana retzuya shleima l'shmo, with a full heart, with a sincere heart, ein hir hurra, lo shenasa mitzvahs b'li kavana, o al hasafek ulay yesh ben toelet, right? We're not doing it for pragmatic reasons. We're not doing it for personal gain. Rather, the sincerity, the passion, the purity of the heart. Says Rav Volbeek, don't get confused. Yes, there's a sugya called mitzvahs trichas kavana, the mitzvahs not trichas kavana, and we paskin in Or HaChaim that mitzvahs midaraisa at least need kavana. But says Rav Volbeek, that's not what we're talking about. That's referring to kavana lotzes. If you have, when the Gemara says you have, or the Shocharak Paskins, you have to have kavana, it means you have to be aware that I'm doing this, and I'm doing it for a mitzvah. And that's enough. But let's say you did that, you had that, but you still were not, why am I up at 8 o'clock in the morning, or 7 o'clock in the morning, 6:20 in the morning? Why am I putting these weird things on my arm? Of course I'm doing it for the mitzvah, I'm not unaware, but I don't have any passion, I'm not really into it, I'm hurrying out. So says Rav Volbeek, of course, you were yotzei the mitzvah. Mitzvah trichas kavana means you were aware you were doing a mitzvah. But you might have been lacking all this other stuff. L'chavin bin yana, that's still the mitzvah. B'chozos, nevertheless, turning over to the next page. Yesh kan od mitzvah acheres. But there's not just a mitzvah called tefillin. There's not just a mitzvah called davin. There's not just a mitzvah called tzitzis. Umbrella, a meta mitzvah over all of those is l'avdo. Mitzvah zuno hagis b'chol mitzvos. Hamakayim mitzvah b'li tohar leiv u'b'li machshava me'uleh yotzei ydei chavasa. Yes. Rabbi, am I yotze? Did I do the mitzvah? The answer is yes. Aval oved einenu. But you're not an Eved Hashem. To be an Eved Hashem means you're striving to enhance the quality of the mitzvahs. Not just doing them. That's to be someone who's shomer halacha or not. And that's very, very important. It's the first question. But it's the floor, not the ceiling. We're striving for something more, to be an Eved Hashem. And what is Avdu? What do we see? Where is the Lashon of Eved from? Based on that Gemara Chulin, enhancing the quality of the mitzvah experience. Something in our heart. Oved Nikra, Rak HaMishtadel L'Kayim Mitzvos, B'Ichut Mushlamet. What that as close to perfect as a human being can be, that higher quality of the experience. All of that is the first thing. What does it mean to be an Eved Hashem when we're doing the mitzvah? How are we doing it? But one more paragraph and we'll finish. He shares an incredible source, which he's going to then work on. Again, we probably will continue with this next week, as the basis for a second poll. There's one poll called being Eved Hashem, but there's something else. La'avoda zo yeshnan hakdamot. But there is something that happens even before the mitzvah. Even before we do the mitzvah, with or without the right kavana, there's something that happens before that. Ha'amaka upnimius b'mitzvos doreshes midos tovos v'hanhagos miyuchedes. Hinhagut miyuchedet. Kodem shenigashim la'avoda shrichem l'sim leiv la'odam atzmo. Everything we were talking about until now is the mitzvah itself, the mitzvah experience itself. How did you do it? You did it perfunctorily. You didn't do it at all. That's the worst. Then you could do it, but you did it perfunctorily. And then there's what he's describing, the first page of this chapter, which is doing it with your heart, with kavana, et cetera, with passion, with sincerity, with purity, commitment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But all of that only started, the whole discussion, all three levels, are only at the moment of truth of the mitzvah. But that's actually way later in the game. There's something that happens way before that, which is not what how you did the mitzvah, but how you do yourself. What kind of person are you? What are you bringing to the table to begin with? And for this, he uses what is one of the more exoteric parts of what is otherwise an incredibly esoteric work, the famous Kabbalistic work, Shari Kedusha, of the famed Kabbalist of Chaim Vital. And I don't want to sound like, when I say this is the most famous or most well-known part of the Shari Kedusha, if I give you the implication that I know all of it and I'm therefore making a discerning statement, this is the most famous one, I'd be Gonev Das. That's not what I mean. When I say it's the most famous one, I mean it's the only one I know. I am going out on a limb to say it might be the only one that most people also know, because it's really an esoteric work. But this particular thing is actually quite famous, and it's really, really powerful. And if you ever, there's no better shmooze on Midos than this paragraph. He says here, Inyan hamidos hein mutaba'ot ba'adam nefesh hashvela. So he can't, you know, you can't avoid the Kabbalistic part. So the first three lines I don't really understand. Nathan will give us a shiur on that maybe another time. He's our resident Kabbalist. Basically he talks about how there's two types of the nefesh. The lower nefesh, nefesh hashvela, and then he says in the next line, the nefesh ha'elyona. The nefesh hashvela, he says, that's where the midos are. Good midos, bad midos, etc., as opposed to the higher nefesh, that's what he thinks is either intellectual, he calls it sichlit, but he also says that's where the actions are. So this shvela is quote-unquote lower, but you'll see here, he doesn't mean lower in importance. He means more basic. So if you take a look at the third line, he says, middle of the line, here's the famous part, lefichach, ein hamidos michlal ha-taryag mitzvos, v'amnam heim hachanos ikariot el ha-taryag mitzvos v'kiyumam o b'pitulam. He is implicitly coming to answer a very famous question. Your whole life, and hopefully from your mother, and from your father, and from your ganenet, and from all sorts of people, they've been trying to teach you to be a good person, to be a nice person, to be a mensch, to have good midos. All good. At some point one could ask, really? Show me. V'shteit. Where does it say? Where's the mitzvah? And if I'm rude, what aveira did I do? If I smiled at someone, what mitzvah did I do? Which one of the taryag mitzvahs? What's one of the 613 says have good midos? The answer is none. Midos are not counted as mitzvos. So what does that mean? So are they not important? It's an unbelievable problem. So the answer, this is the part that's very famous from Chaim Vital, he says they're not mitzvos because they're too important to be just. To be mitzvos would already be to downgrade them. They're more important than mitzvos. They're the prerequisite to every mitzvah. You can't get to first base, you can't get to the first mitzvah until you have good midos. They are the hachana for for all mitzvos. This is the step even before mitzvos. Ya'an ki ein koch b'nefesh ha-sechlit l'kayim ha-mitzvos al-yidei taryag evarei ha-guf, ela b'emtsa'ut nefesh ha-yisodit ha-mechuberet el ha-guf atzmo. Says, step two is how you do the mitzvos. But everything is either impossible or at least fundamentally deficient if you don't bring to the table good midos. L'fichach inyan ha-midos ha-ro'os koshim min ha-averos atzman ma'od. Unbelievably powerful statement. It follows logically from what he said already, but still, he's, you know, as we might say, he's doubling down. It says, bad midos are worse than the bad averos, because they will impact everything. An individual of avera is finite. You can define it. It's this, it's not that. Bad midos spread everywhere. That's like the first wave of corona. That's everywhere. And that's deadly. Like that. That is very, very powerful. He says, "Ubazet tavin." What Chazal say, and he quotes various Gemaras. You know, we'll just do the first one that he quotes, but there's others. You know, very hyperbolic. You know, you would think almost very exaggerated Gemaras. The Gemara says, "Anyone who gets angry, kalakoes oved avodah zara." It's as if you violated avodah zara, and avodah zara, as Rav Volpe points out, is considered itself comparable to violating all 613 mitzvos. Like, okay, so I shouldn't get angry. But come on, Rabbi, don't exaggerate. So what's the point? The last two lines. V'nimsa, ki yoter tzarich lihisaher mimidos haraos yoser min kiyum ha-mitzvos, aseh v'lo taseh. No, that's the point, because the prerequisite to everything are these good midos. Someone who can't control their temper, that's a midos problem. It could be other things too, when you start hurting other people. But even in yourself, there's already a midos problem. And therefore, since that's a prerequisite, that will carry you in impact and infect everything, a person has to be more careful, has to work more on their midos than on their mitzvos. Ki behiyosa bal midos tovos, because if, you know, he's been very negative the last few lines, so let's end on a positive note. The fact is, if you have good midos, benakel yekayim kol mitzvos, then it's natural. There's a famous metaphor or fable that I've often used in different contexts, but it's completely apropos to here, where, you know, somebody was given a task of a huge amount of chopping wood, you know, in the forest in a certain amount of time. So he's chopping and he's chopping and he's chopping, and of course it's starting to get slower and slower, not only because he's getting more tired, but because the blade is getting duller. So he's coming up on the deadline, and someone comes over to him and says, I'll give you advice. Why don't you take a break from chopping the wood and spend a few minutes sharpening the axe? To which he foolishly responds, no, I don't have time. I have to quit, right? And the mussar being that if we don't spend time sharpening the axe, it doesn't matter how many times we're doing the thing. So in this context, sharpening the axe means working on ourselves. If you're just running to do more and more mitzvos, but you haven't spent time working on yourself, sharpening the axe. It's true, sharpening the axe is not any mitzvah. But without it, you get no mitzvos. It's, in a certain sense, it's even more important than any mitzvah. That's the key. So just to sum up, he says here, Hare Lefaneinu, before the first page we had what he called Avoda, based on the Gemara in Chulin. What we have now, he says, is a different Shetach Avoda, a different field of work we have to work on ourselves, which he's calling Chinuch Atzmi. And right after the three dots, which we'll start, pick up, please God, maybe next week, he says there's two dinim, there's two dimensions in working on ourselves. There's what's called Avoda, and then there's what's called Chinuch. Avoda is how we do the mitzvos, but chinuch is how we not do the mitzvot, but how we do ourselves, how we work on ourselves. And it's that combination which we have to all work on both. Okay? Shabbos.